Hello, humans. It's Leap Day. I'm here with DJ Menefee, who is the vice president of so many things. Enrollment, marketing, communication, retention, being a badass. And I'm so thrilled to have DJ on the program. DJ, welcome to the Vine Down.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited about the show. I'm excited about your energy. And I'm putting a plug in now, because we talked about it beforehand, that because we're falling on the leap year, in four more years, I'll be back. Whatever rendition yes. that is, whatever version that is, I'm coming back.
100%. And even if it's not a Thursday, we're doing a special leap. You can always be the guest on. Okay. You will always be the guest on Leap Year. You have the Leap Year spot on the show locked up till the end of time. Sound good?
Thanks.
Can we contract this?
Contracted. Done.
Okay.
Stamp. It has to come with a Mountain Dew, but otherwise, yes.
Great, great news, audience. For years to come, you can look forward to a leap day Vine Down, whatever day of the week. Could be a Saturday. We won't care. DJ will be here talking about enrollment, and it will be awesome. I'm particularly excited to have DJ on the show today because DJ has been really invested in coaching and developing leaders and leadership over many, many years. DJ, you've led teams. You've developed organizational structures. You create strategic plans. You make strategic plans come to life in very tactical ways, which I think is really unique. I think a lot of people say they're either creators of strategy or executors tactically. And you're saying like, no, I can do both. I can bring those the two things to life. You also have a podcast. So like, we're like host to host here. A new episode, if you said a new episode is coming next week, you will not tell me who the guest is, but your podcast is called Hues of Leadership. Where can the humans go watch your show or listen to your show?
So humans can go to Spotify or Apple to go listen to the show. And we normally have a practice of not introducing the guests into the morning of the launch, which is why, audience, I did not share with Emily. And also, I just want to acknowledge that, one, Emily, thank you so much for lifting me up and celebrating me in terms of how you introduce my work. But I also wouldn't be doing due diligence if I didn't acknowledge those that have participated in that work along with me, regardless of who is the creator of and designer of things. If you don't have an empowered and inspired team, it sounds good, but it won't get the lift. It won't get the impact that it needs. And so any of the successes I've had have not been built on an island. They have not been built in a silo. And so I want to lift up those teams. I'm going to lift up the mentors that have been inspirational in my life. And I also have to give a shout out and lift up to my queen, because if she wasn't part of my life, I wouldn't be here either. And so just wanting to make sure I'm spreading the love to those that have helped me get to this place in my journey.
I love that. Thank you for lifting all of those people up. I just recently consumed something that I found really interesting. It was the CEO talking about why he was successful. And he was talking about his daily routine. He was talking about how he's a CEO and a very successful like ultra marathoner, like a very elite athlete. And he was talking about all the things he had to do in the day to run his company and run, you know, actually like train for these races that he was running. And he was talking about like, well, first I do a cold plunge, then I meditate, then I do my to-do list and I do all these things. But someone had animated it and animated his wife around him, managing all of these things around him. And I was like, yep, that's it. Like, and he's not talking about like the supports of people in his life the way you just did. Like, before I even start, I want to like call out these things and these people. And I just thought it was really touching to see like a really real rendition of somebody so supported by others, making his, you know, very successful CEO-ship and his ultra marathoning like possible.
Exactly. There are instances, there's music and songs that I like to listen to because I love the artists, but I have to acknowledge there are moments ever so subtle where I cringe a little bit because at times they are signaling that they are self-made, they've done it on their own. And it's like, I buy into you as a musician and all the other words of this song except that part. And so again, I try to make sure that I'm thinking about that. And I try to make sure that my teams are thinking about that as well.
Yeah. I love that you're bringing that recognition in. And I swear if George Dane didn't march me into the rooms of, you know, so many vice presidents of enrollment and presidents of institutions, these 20 long years ago, I would not know the things in my head today. So speak. Audience, this is a live show. Again, we don't do a live show for our health or because it's fun. We do a live show to get your feedback and interaction. So if you have questions for me, questions for DJ in particular, please let us know in the comments. We want to hear from you. And we're here today to talk about how DJ lands in roles and is successful. This is something that We all do in our career. I just want to like normalize. It is normal to move around in jobs. It is normal to move institution to institution or institution to company, or the reverse doesn't happen as often. And I want to normalize, especially in this season coming up where we will have lots of vacancies and roles and folks changing, particularly in the spring and summer seems to be when folks change in roles. DJ has a really interesting set of mental models that inform his ability to transition into a new role and make make lift up a good team and be a successful leader. And DJ, as we get started, I want you to share with our audience the three key lessons you've learned in your career. We always start this way. I'd love for you to share three key lessons that you've learned.
Of course, of course. Well, for those that may be in the audience and have connected with me at some point in my journey, one, thank you for being in space again. But also some of this may sound consistent, which is a positive thing, but also redundant. The first thing is just the value of lifelong learning. Regardless of where I've been in my career, regardless of the position or the responsibilities that I've had, I've always carved out time every day to grow and to develop. So whether it's reading a book, whether it's listening to a podcast, watching a webinar, I've always tried to create space for learning because there's always room to grow. There's always room to progress. And when you think about the ever-changing world that we live in, what would have had you at an A plus yesterday is quickly turned into a B minus the next day if you're not staying up with the trends and being versatile in the way in which you can approach the work. The second one would be just the value of self-reflection. I think there are times in which we can always be lifted up and want to celebrate our victories, our successes. But there's also instances where we can recognize and lift up those moments where we've taken some calculated risk and maybe failed, but really self-reflecting on what we've learned from those moments so that we can come back 10 times better. And also even in instances where you're thinking about, you know, say Emily and I have a chance to work together. And Emily needs to give me some direct feedback that maybe in the moment I'm not ready to truly digest. But now I've had some time to go into a different space, take some time to digest what was shared, to self-reflect, and then to be able to demonstrate to Emily or the people that I'm responsible for collaborating with or leading that I hear you, I see you, and I've taken time to take your feedback. And I want you to be able to see that I've been embracing your feedback and the way in which I'm showing my actions moving forward. And then the last one that I would say as a third is just the value of preparation. I think in terms of preparing for a meeting, preparing for the time you're going to spend in a speech, preparing for the ways in which you're going to approach application review, preparing for how you're going to approach your search strategy. Preparation has been very valuable for me. And so, you know, I spend almost as much time preparing for a meeting as the time I'm going to be in that meeting. And Emily, I know we talked about this in preparation for, you know, don't worry about doing too much in preparation. It's like, it's just kind of the wiring of how I'm built. Mm-hmm. And thus, to me, I want to be able to signal to Emily in this conversation, or I want to be able to signal to members of my team that in that 30 minutes, that 45 minutes, that hour, I have prepared because I care about your time. I want to maximize the time that we have together. And I want to give you my undivided attention. And hopefully through how I'm showing you that I was prepared for the engagement, you can sense that it's valuable and it's important to me.
Yeah, it's sort of like go slow to go fast, right? If you've prepared well. And I think all of the things that you just shared about lifelong learning, self-reflection, and the value of preparation all line up, sort of ladder up under the heading of like growth mindset stuff, which I think is really a really awesome way to be in the world. And I really appreciate that. It's actually what made me reach out to DJ. So sometimes I have like old friends on the show. DJ is somebody I just sort of reached out to and was like, hey, you put cool things out on LinkedIn. It's very clear to me that you are really invested in learning and that you're interested in sharing. I knew of you as a podcast host. You and I have like met a couple of times just in little ways, but like that's what made me want to reach out to you and have you on the show was that you are very like outspoken in your learning, even as a senior leader at this point. That you're like, there's still, you know, like I see you posting the books that you've read. I see you posting the tidbits that you've taken away in an effort to better our whole community and our whole space. And I really appreciate that because not many are taking the time to do that. So DJ, you've transitioned into a new role lately at Bradley. And I'm curious if you can tell us sort of before we get started, like before a transition, what's in your mind? How are you preparing before a job transition?
So I'm going to take your question in the form of I've accepted the role, but there's some time between signing on a dotted line and officially starting. And so what I have incorporated into that framework is what I would call pre-service days. And that framework is basically saying, who are the people that I need to connect with and begin to build a rapport and a relationship with? What information can I have access to that would make sense for me to have a smoother and a more fluent start into my transition? What does that look like? And so, for example, in transitioning into this role that I have now that I've been blessed to be in at Bradley, it was, okay, who are all the senior leadership team colleagues that I'm going to be collaborating with, including my direct report, the president? Let's make sure that I have 1 to 2 opportunities to connect with them, to engage them, to understand what their priorities are, to get a sense of their perspective on my work and how we can work together as I transition into the role. Who are the people that are going to be reporting directly to me? And how can I make sure that I'm giving them space and time, even if it's just a space for me to listen, as well as for them to share, you know, thoughts, questions, concerns. And one of the cool things that happened in this transition is one of our leaders that's in one of our enrollment positions, what they did, and I want to lift them up highly, is they took the opportunity to create like a Google document, and they allowed each member of the team to kind of share a quick bio of themselves. And then if they had questions for me, those questions were included. And so what was really cool about it is I said, okay, I'm going to not only read this information, but I'm going to take the time before I start to answer at least one question based on who all had a question. And so for each person that had a question, I responded, I engaged them via email, and I responded to their question that they asked. And so it gave me another opportunity to say, I hear you, I see you. And it also gave me an opportunity to say, I can't wait to see you walk across the stage because you're about to earn your MBA at spring commencement. It gave me the opportunity to do that even before I officially started. And it also helped me understand what are the things that my role is going to be challenged with in terms of making a quicker decision, a more timely decision, and what are the things that I'm going to have a little bit more runway on. And so, again, that pre-service time period is what I've used to build initial relationships, understand collaborative relationships, understand priorities, understand at what pace change is going to be expected. And so that way it's given me a little bit better of a lift to start a new role on day one.
Yeah. And I think what you've mentioned, so you said like this thing sort of happened to you where you had this Google document prepared for you and people pre-wrote in questions. You don't have to wait for that to happen to you. So like that's great. And you proactively responded in order to make people feel like seen and heard, which I think is really important in building both like trust relationships and some psychological safety so that you can like have more freedom to move once you're there. Like there's nothing stopping you from doing that ahead of time if you have a new role coming up, and sort of sounds like a powerful move to solicit questions ahead of time to say like, hey, here's a Google document. I'd really like to know like what you are really concerned about to circulate among your future constituents. Gives you a lot to go on, right? Like it's like taking student data and operating on like, look, I know you want to be a lacrosse player who needs financial aid. Like you're like, look, I know you're really going to care about like reporting to the board of trustees. Like let's talk about that right away. And I think that's a really amazing move to get people to like just build trust ahead of time. One thing you didn't mention, which I'm curious because I'm guessing you're going to have some kind of specific answer. What do you do at home to prepare your family and your partner about what happens when you get a new job and a new role? Do you talk about that as a family? Do you talk about shifting household responsibilities? I mean, and I'm also assuming like some of this also includes like physical moves. But how do you talk about sort of time and responsibility in your household?
Yeah, so I would say in my household, and this is not prescriptive, I'm not intending to tell someone else how to run their household, but in the household I'm blessed to be in with my queen, shout out to Annabelle Menifee, we do things in collaboration. And so there isn't a role that either one of us is moving forward on without having had a discussion, without having thought critically about what this would mean should that role take place, and also to think critically about timing in terms of what a transition would look like. And so if I'm thinking about the role that I'm in right now, we knew that it wasn't going to be feasible for the whole family to move up my official start date. And so what does that mean in terms of negotiating a biweekly rotation where I'm present in Peoria, which mm-hmm. I am now in Peoria, Illinois, and the other transition period were 2 weeks. I'm at home in Pennsylvania until it's time for the full family to transition. We didn't want to interrupt our kids' educational experiences, and so mm-hmm. we wanted them to be able to finish their 4 year, to finish with their friends and their teammates. And so that's the way in which we've processed it. And yes, it means some shifting of roles. It also means acknowledging in those periods what the other is navigating in those periods. And so I often want to lift her up because, you know, at our home, we have three amazing children, but they are high need, high demand, high energy. And it takes a powerful, impactful human being to navigate that day in and day out when I'm gone. And so I appreciate what she does. And she also understands that when I'm in Peoria, she understands how much work this is. She understands what the daily agenda looks like because I share my schedule with her every week. And so she understands the time that I need to kind of get a really good start and to really contribute to the community. And thus, by the time the family moves, you know, I'm hoping to be out of a space where I'm not having, you know, 8 to 14 meetings a day, where I'm not having to work as much in the evenings and on the weekend. And so I think we have a good understanding of that balance of what it looks like for us when we make a transition like this.
Yeah. I mean, there's the silver lining of, like, if you're separated from your family, you're more likely to say yes to evening work and weekend work on the weekends that you're separated from them in their transition. That makes sense to me. Okay. So that's talking about how you prepare. Talk to me about when you land. What are some of the first things that you do? How do you do the thing where you're both learning, setting strategy, and thinking about planning and execution steps later? Like, talk to me about some of the first things that you care about.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, one of the first things that I wanted to do was to bring the whole newly integrated division together. And in doing that on day one, it allowed for an opportunity to introduce myself in person. It allowed for the opportunity mm-hmm. to kind of level set foundation in terms of expectations. And in trying to articulate expectations, highlighting the type of culture, not that I want it to create, because that assumes that it doesn't already exist, but mm-hmm. what type of culture I want to contribute to, thus saying that I am going to be just as participatory as the team that I'm working with and leading. And so that was a part of one of the things that I did first. The other piece was working with my amazing assistant to coordinate a listening tour. And so it was critical for me to meet with every person, to give every person individual time and space. And it was informal. So I'm not coming in for each one. I would say, hey, this isn't formal. I didn't come in expecting you to have a list of questions or a list of things you needed to share. But maybe through our dialogue, there may be some questions that come up, but I just wanted to give you space and time with me so I can learn about you, learn about your role, learn about what you care about most, or learn about your concerns. And I was able to do that for every member of our team. And so to me, it created that space and opportunity for me to signal I see you, for them to signal they see me, and for us to have a better sense of the broader work that's happening mm-hmm. in this division, this newly integrated division, and thus understanding and setting a path forward who should be a part of those conversations as we need to implement change. You know, in terms of thinking about how change shows itself, sometimes it's by access. Right. And so as you start being exposed to things, you start to say, OK, some of these things may need to be addressed more quickly. And some of them can be things that we just kind of note for, hey, let's put this on the shelf for a moment because we're in the midst of a cycle and we don't want to try to change dry right now. But let's plan a time to come back and kind of revisit this. And so if I were to say, hey, this is a thing that we took a move and we needed to move now on, it was this opportunity to say, hey, it looks as though through dialogue with my director of financial assistance, we have not had the opportunity to revisit for the campus leadership what the impact will be for FAFSA simplification on returning students. Okay, well, that's something. Let's partner with you taking the leadership role. Let's lift you up and all your expertise and experience to craft what this is going to look like. And then we can present it to our partners in finance along with a recommendation on how we would like to move forward. So that was one of those ones where it was time sensitive and we wanted to do that as soon as that became something we needed to consider. no different than thinking about where we are now over the last, 30 days or so. I believe in one of your shows, FAFSA simplification may have been a topic. And so when thinking about the information that came out about the $1.8 billion formula error or the delay in timing of when institutions will begin to receive ICERs, that was another instance where there was some immediacy to say, hey, if we are student centered and we have these organizations that are higher ed adjacent that also are student centered and saying, hey, you should extend your deadlines. Well, let's make sure that we're being student centered in our approach. And so that was another instance where we quickly made a decision. If I were to say something about the application review process, that would be one of the examples where you can see what the undergrad experience looks like, the international, maybe you also see the grad, you see the transfer process and you're like, oh, okay. There are some opportunities for us to reevaluate this with collaborative partners who are all participatory in the process, but mid-cycle may not be that time. And so that's that balanced approach. The other thing I would say lastly is when you start thinking about strategy, to me, it's about creating and crafting a vision that often is aligned with the university strategic plan, but it's also about who's participating in the building of the strategic plan. And so knowing that there are some key vacancies that we have at the leadership level in my organization, while I've created strategic plans before, I can create one and say, let's go forth. But what does that mean for these new leaders that I want to be empowered, that I want to be creative, that I want to be innovative to help move us forward towards that direction that didn't get a chance to participate in the process? And so that's one of those things that I've decided to hold on to until we're at full capacity and at full staff so that the other amazing leaders that are going to be around me can help contribute to building an amazing plan.
Yeah, well, you're telling a story of simultaneously like pulling people in and their stories and experiences, making them feel heard, and then being a conduit for friction, more frictionless work. And I think the thing that I'm hearing that feels really different than what I experience of many leaders in transition is that you, from the beginning, are looking for ways and places to delegate well, which is efficient for the organization, and to further the careers of others, which I think a lot of times, especially as we transition into new roles, it's this moment of like, okay, I have to wrap my, like, I have to define my kingdom, wrap my arms around it, and then hold it tight. And you're saying actually the reverse can be really effective. If you can listen, validate stories, think about the decisions that need to be made now versus later, and sort of bring in some of that storytelling and listening, I think feels really powerful. It reminds me of Nikki Chun when she was on, Nikki Chun, who's an amazing leader in our space. If you don't know her, you definitely need to. She's the Vice President of Enrollment Management at University of Hawaii, Manoa. And when she was on the ALP with Ken Anselman, another fabulous podcast in our space, she talked about the power of taking in those stories from others and in a really powerful way. And I think it was amazing. And lastly, I'd love to plug a book that has been really important to me, and I would recommend anybody read this book if you're thinking about a role transition. It's called Good Strategy, Bad Strategy. It's by Richard Rummelt, and it's a book that really defines like how to write a strategic plan, because we talk about strategy, but like really what is strategy? Like what does a strategic document look like? So I would definitely plug that book up as well. Okay, so DJ, let me ask you a question about how you measure how well a transition is going. What do you measure in yourself, your team? How do you know it's working?
So one of the things that I saw at a previous institution, the leadership, the administration created this thing called a scorecard. And once they built the scorecard, it would then cascade down. And that would allow the teams, the rest of the organization, to understand how they all needed to plug in their goals and direction. And so I've kind of carried that with me in the places I've been blessed to go since then. And so when I think about the transition here, as I got a sense of, okay, the job description is X, what I believe I need to be doing is Y. And now that I'm taking what I believe, I'm taking what the job description says, and I'm taking the initial transition into play. Thus, here is how I'm going to use my time, and here are the ways in which I'm going to focus that time. And I build that into the scorecard. Well, once I build that to the scorecard, I then distribute that scorecard to my president, who's my boss, and I distribute it to my direct reports. And so in that, I'm saying, hey, I want to make sure you all understand how I'm going to be spending my time and where the area of energy is going to go. Mm-hmm. If you have questions, concerns, or recommendations, please feel free to chime in, because now you have a full suite of understanding how I'm going to spend my time. And then when you say, hey, how are you assessing if it's working? Well, my first 90 days just came through not too long ago. And what I decided to do is I took that 90-day scorecard and another document that I track, which is a changes and initiatives document. And I said, okay, President, in our next one-on-one, I want you to take this in consideration, because this is what my first 90 days has looked like. That's not to take away from the one-on-one engagements we've had, and it doesn't take away from senior leadership team meetings and other instances where we've come together. But here's a fully digestible aspect and a snapshot of, in my first 90 days, here's where my energy is gone. Here's the production of work. Here's how things are progressing. And it's in a red light, green light, yellow light scenario that signals things are on progress, things are a little delayed, or things have stopped. And here's a particular reason why that is on pause right now. And I shared that also with my direct reports. And in sharing it with them, it gave them an opportunity to give me feedback. And so I said, hey, here's my 90-day evaluation of sorts. I would love to get your feedback. If you're going to give me feedback, truly take time to digest what is here, and then you can give me feedback. And for those that raised their hand to do so, Emily, it was that opportunity for me to say, okay, one of the things I care about is transparency. Am I seeing that in the thread of the feedback? One of the things I care about is building a strong culture where people can be their authentic self. Am I seeing that in the feedback that I'm getting? I believe in the power of communication. Am I seeing that? Yes, it was acknowledged, but it also was acknowledged there's some area of opportunity for me to improve because I'm not always clear. Fantastic. So that is the mechanism that I've been using to assess, am I heading in the right direction? Lastly, I would say, you brought up a comment earlier about board of trustees and board engagement. Here, we have a reporting structure where we're under the Student Success Committee. And a part of my transition, my first kind of Success Committee meeting, was to give them an update on one of my teams, which is focused on enrollment. And so in doing so, to me, it's about the reaction and the feedback you get from presenting that information and then also presenting it to the full board. And so those are some additional areas of opportunity where you get the moment to see in real time, how is the audience responding to how you spent your first 90 to 100 days? What questions do they still have? What seems to be unclear? And in their way of assessing you, are they kind of now stepping back and saying, oh yeah, they got it? Or are they getting closer because things are still unclear? And how do you help navigate that? Because you want to be clear, you want to be concise, and you want to build confidence that they've hired the right person or right people, and that with your team, you're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I love hearing your perspective on scorecards. Again, if you're transitioning into a new role and your institution already uses scorecards to measure performance and roles, awesome. If they don't, this is something you can bring. You can write your own scorecards. We write scorecards for all positions at College Vine. It's really important to us and near and dear to our hearts. We write them. If you don't know how to write them, you write a scorecard for a performance, so like the 90th, 95th percentile performance, and you write the outcomes which will have happened. So if in 90 days, this person in this position has X, Y, and Z, then you will know if that person is a success. I don't know if you use that same mindset when writing the bullets out in your scorecard, but that's like, it really like actually helps you get behaviors down, because you're like, okay, like what are the actions that I need to take to get to this A performance in the role? And DJ, I might've said at the beginning of the call that you are like an OG in enrollment management. You are like the owl of enrollment management. And by that, I mean, you didn't ask me to tell you what I think your superpower is, but I'm about to. I believe that you are quite wise, but you also have this ability to like look all the way behind you in a way that many leaders do not. Like, you are on a swivel at all times. You're like looking up at president, looking out at trustees, looking down at your team. Like, you are moving your head around and your field of vision around much more, just in like activity, just much more than many others. And for that, I really appreciate it. The last thing I want you to talk about.
Emily, can I quickly do, I want to acknowledge that what you just lifted me up on, I got from other leaders that I've had around me. And so I want to make sure that I'm lifting them up, because I didn't just create it myself. I learned it from somewhere. And the other piece I would do is yes, there are some similarities to how I've approached scorecarding in the way that you just shared from your company's experience. But I would want to lift a colleague up. So I have shared this reference to the scorecard in other instances and other spaces. And this colleague was like, hey, can you share that? And so I shared it with them because they were transitioning around a similar time period to my first vice president role to their first vice president role. And they took this scorecard and like made it to 6.0 version, like the way in which they elevated this document and brought their full team into it was amazing. And so I just want to take a moment to shout out Jay Jacobs at the University of Vermont, because he then shared back what he had built. And it just, again, it was a leaps and bounds variation from what I was using and creating at that time.
That is super rad. And if you and or Jay would be willing to share your template for that, even if it's like, you know, sort of anonymized or like somehow neutralized, I think the space would really love to see that as like a piece, you know, as like a template to draw from. If either of you or both of you are comfortable in sharing for it, I will like make a call to say, like, I think everyone would love to see that. That's amazing. And I love how you're working in partnership with somebody else to amplify your own good ideas and your own good work and to acknowledge the learning from others. That's amazing. DJ, one of the things that we chatted about in the pre-show is your like focus on conscientious comportment. And by that, I mean modeling the right behavior to set the right culture. It's sort of like a walk the walk thing that's like really important to you. And we haven't really touched on it in this show. And I'd love for you to talk to the audience about why you feel like that's important and how you see that playing out in the sort of like creation and strengthening of good culture.
Sure. Well, I think, Emily, the first thing I would say to you and to the audience is as humans, we often pay more attention to the behavior and the actions that we see than what has been said or what has been written down as
like the way you feel. Yeah.
Right. And so if I say that I believe in a collaborative culture and we want to be the best collaborative partners possible, how do I mirror that to show by my actions that I care about collaboration? If I say to my team that your health and your family come first, how do I model that, right?
Oh, so, I know. You should email them all weekend and late at night. I think that's how you should show them that, right? And not take your own PTO. I think I got it, right? That's yeah, right.
Well, and so when you say that, right, one of the examples that I've built in, and so I will acknowledge, yes, while I'm in Peoria, I work over the weekends. But what I don't do is send an email or send a request over the weekend.
We have technology for that
now. It's on delay. Yeah, it's on delay. So it doesn't happen until Monday. When folks are expecting to manage the work, unless there's something already scheduled that actually is taking place over the weekend, like an admitted student event that we had more recently. And so I think those are the things that I'm thinking about. Again, the example I gave earlier about my 90-day evaluation, if I am contributing to a team and saying I care about having a performance-based culture, but I'm not willing to put myself out there to be evaluated, I only want my president to evaluate me, then what my behavior is suggesting is totally opposite than what I am verbally contributing, right? If I say it's okay to take calculated risk in my culture, and it's okay that you don't get everything right, that we can fail, then I need to be able to model that by acknowledging instances where I've tried something, I made a decision, and it didn't work or it didn't work out the way I thought it did, and be okay acknowledging that. So to me, that's the way in which you are taking time to model the behavior in which you want to see. And I think the other piece is if you think about trying to acknowledge people and lift them up in the way that they want to be acknowledged and lifted up, it's by taking that action and demonstrating that behavior by hey, how do you want to be acknowledged? Like, hey, I think it would be great for you to do this presentation because you have the expertise. And that person may say, well, I appreciate you lifting me up, but I'm not comfortable being in that setting. So then I know I can take the content and be in the setting because I'm comfortable in the setting while still verbally lifting you up from your expertise and not taking credit for your work. And so to me, those are the instances where you begin to model the behavior in which you want to see, and you become a contributor to the culture that you want to have and the environment that you want to thrive in.
Yeah. And that first part about like bringing your words, behaviors, and vibe in a state of authentic congruency in an integrated state is a really big deal, and not a lot of people do that well. And then that second piece you just brought on about like making sure it's in the language in which the other person can receive it, right? We don't want to acknowledge an employee who doesn't want to get called out and put up on stage. If that makes them really uncomfortable to acknowledge good work, like we shouldn't do that. That's a higher level thing to say, like, I want to make sure that the ways in which I'm giving you feedback or the ways that I'm lifting you up are the ways that will really land for you. Like, that's some higher level stuff, man. That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, because I know you spend a lot of time thinking about it. And I think even more importantly, you can relay it in a way that makes sense to others. I think a lot of people who are good at that will just be like, yeah, like that's just the way to be. But you can actually like slow it down and chunk it out in a way that others can learn from, which I think is really important. So thanks for going through that with us. Okay, DJ, as we close the show, as we do every week, what are you excited about in the next 6 months now that the dumpster fire of Earth is still continuing to burn? Give us some good news. What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that I want to be mindful of is I was coming to a team that was already in transition. And so one of the things that I'm looking forward to is the rebuilding phase. And the rebuilding phase is not easy. It's hard and it takes time, but I'm really excited about what we're building here within the context of our division and the direction we want to go for us and for our university. I'm also excited about completing the transition, as I alluded to earlier, accepting the role and starting when I did. I'm on a biweekly rotation. And while we knew that was a part of the plan, and I would say we're pseudo halfway there, to be whole and reconnected with my family, with my queen, with my beautiful children is something that I look forward to. And I also look forward to being more permanent and more present on a consistent basis for the team that has welcomed me with open arms. And I guess lastly, the one that comes to mind is I look forward to seeing this amazing team be motivated and inspired to do amazing work, and to be able to, alongside them, see the impact of the work that we're having. There are elements of this work, whether you're talking about enrollment, whether you're talking about central marketing and communications, or whether you're talking about retention, there are things that we can control and there are things that we can't. And for the things that we can't, there are instances where the world can say you weren't successful, but it doesn't take away from the effort and the energy in the ways in which your team showed up. And so I think that's the piece that I'm excited to see, but also wanting to challenge myself to help them acknowledge it, to see it, and to lift it up, even if all aspects of the work that we're doing aren't always successful.
Yeah, what beautiful sentiments. And Peoria will be lucky to have you full time, and the Bradley community will be lucky to have you and your family full time. That's awesome. DJ, thank you so much for being here. This was a true joy. I could talk to you for about a billion more hours on all of these topics. Audience, thanks for being here. I appreciate your participation. I appreciate all of our extended networks of folks in this learning that keeps going around. Thank you so much. Humans out there, leap day next 4 years from now, DJ will be here regardless of the day, the weather, or whatever is happening. We will be here leap day in 4 years with DJ again. I can feel it. The owl of the space. So thanks, DJ, for being here. I appreciate you.
Thank you. I will be back in 4 years with a Mountain Dew, with a pair of Jordans, a little bit more gray hair. But thank you for having me. I hope this is impactful for your audience. And I'll see you in 4 years.
Great. Hopefully also sooner. Maybe we should have like at least a midpoint, like an eighth, each eighth of that. Okay. Audience, take good care. Be well. Hydrate yourselves. Gird your loins for a future spring ahead of lots of role transitions, good planning, strategy, and execution. Be well.